This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you on The Fan. And women's college basketball championship game on Sunday afternoon, and the UConn Huskies dominate. They dominated the tournament. They dominate South Carolina. Gino Auriemma with another title. Paige Beckers gets her first. And South Carolina does not get the opportunity to repeat. To talk about the women's title and the tournament, and I always think this time of year, the concept of legacy, whose legacy was shaped or changed, we bring in Howard Megdahl. Howard covers, founded The Next. They cover, do a fantastic job covering women's college basketball and women's basketball, and also he's author of a new book called Becoming Caitlin Clark, The Unknown Story of a Modern Basketball Superstar. I know the book is out soon. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's start with the game, though. Howard, welcome to the program.
Lori, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
So, Howard, I know you're down there at the site, at the game. UConn versus South Carolina. Let's start with legacy. Whose legacy was most impacted by this outcome? UConn 82, South Carolina 59.
There are a trio of legacies that are being written here that are fascinating to me. And so you start with Paige Beckers, who has been one of the great players in the history of Connecticut. However, injuries and other factors have kept her from winning a championship, and this was her last chance. She had already said she's not coming back to school. She's going to head to the pros. This gave her the opportunity to write her name into the history books, and at UConn, the table stakes are kind of winning a national championship. It's what you saw from Maya Moore. It's what you saw from Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird. Breanna Stewart, of course, had 4 in 4 years. Paige Beckers would have been a great player regardless. Now she is also a UConn national champion, and that really matters. The other two are A.Z. Fudd, who managed to do much the same thing. Someone nearly as highly regarded out of high school as Paige Beckers, coming up with 11 points in the third quarter, which is the most by any Connecticut player in a national championship game in a single quarter, which is an amazing thing to see. And third is Gino Auriemma, who 30 years after winning his first national championship, wins his 12th, manages to say that amid a changing game, Gino Auriemma's way is still a way to win and win convincingly.
Yeah, so let's, of those, let's talk about Paige Beckers. And for people who maybe they haven't spent as much time following the women's game, or maybe they jumped on board following women's college basketball last year with the whole Caitlin Clark phenomenon. The interesting thing here is, can you provide some context when, if we just go back a few years ago before Paige Beckers blows out the knee, misses time, there was a time when the discussion was, who is the next great women's basketball player in college and then for the pros? Like, who's it going to be? Who's number one? Is it Paige Beckers or is it Caitlin Clark? And that was a real debate, and it was not clear if it was, Was it the girl from the from Connecticut and the Northeast, or was it this Midwestern kid we were hearing about from Iowa? And, you know, where Paige Beckers was versus where she is knee surgeries later.
No, I'm so glad you asked it that way. And, Lori, of course, you've been on top of this for a long time, which is why you know. It's a remarkable thing that coming out of high school, Paige was slightly higher regarded, if you go by the ESPN Top 100, as a recruit coming into school. And truly, by the end of freshman year, there was an open question whether Caitlin Clark could ascend to Paige's level, in part because could Lisa Bluder put a supporting cast around Caitlin equivalent to the one that Paige was going to have going forward. The fact of the matter is they're going to enter now a period of time where Paige can play professionally. Caitlin is already excelling in the league, and we get to have those conversations all over again, which is one of the really fun things within the women's game and in basketball in general. The flip side is that you also have players coming right behind each of them, and the star power in this league is just going to continue to grow. Bottom line is that Paige has a national championship here and a legacy at UConn that is really just beginning what her legacy is going to be professionally when it's all said and done. And the idea that will she have a better career than Caitlin is still an open question as far as I'm concerned, and many around the league as well.
All right, you mentioned Gino Auriemma, and yeah, incredible to think that he wins his 12th national championship with the UConn women 30 years after winning his first. And again, I guess you and I don't know, we're probably dating ourselves in this, but I do remember, I remember when he was the young upstart and the,
right.
You know, it was Pat Summitt and Tennessee that was the institution. Mm-hmm. And then Gino came and was that upstart and took the, you know, it became Gino's time. And what was interesting here with the last few years is it has felt like we are having another changing of the guard in women's college basketball, where the dominant program and the dominant coach, you know, it's South Carolina and it's Dawn Staley taking that mantle from Gino Auriemma. And so with this win and with knowing that AZ Fudd is coming back and knowing that freshman Sarah Strong, we're going to get to her in a moment, that she's coming back, have we, you know, what's going on in terms of that maybe changing of the guard, Gino and UConn versus South Carolina, Dawn Staley for dominant women's program?
I think it's a really hard argument to make that it's one as opposed to the other at this point. And I don't take issue with anything that you said, but it is worth noting that during this period of time that some of the hardest core UConn fans would tell you was a disaster because it was this epic drought. They haven't won a national title since 2016. Well, in that time, they went 294-31. They went to 7 Final Fours. I mean, they had the type of drought. We should all have such droughts in terms of our own lives. And so he also did it during a period of time where he lost Paige several times to really significant injuries, including an ACL that knocked her out for an entire year. Lost AZ Fudd for multiple long stretches in this time, has had to piece it together. And again, I asked him about it after. I said, you know, look, you were in a scenario where you didn't win national titles since 2016. Did this feel like vindication? And his answer was, no, it didn't feel like vindication. I knew when we had our whole team together, that's when you're beating UConn. People were beating pieces of UConn over this period of time. The flip side of that is, though, South Carolina went to its fifth consecutive Final Four. There are only three programs that have ever done that historically: UConn, Stanford, and South Carolina. Even Pat Summitt's Tennessee never went to five straight Final Four. So let's just be clear about it. UConn was the better team today, and Dawn Staley acknowledged as much after the game. South Carolina isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, so South Carolina, again, for people who maybe don't follow it as closely, South Carolina was defending national champion. South Carolina was the team that won last year. They won the title beating Caitlin Clark's Iowa team. They were coming in this season trying to repeat, to go back-to-back as champions. And for much of the year, South Carolina, they came into this game with a 35-3 record on the season, playing in a terrific, obviously, you know, very challenging conference. Yeah. And when you look at their season, so they end up with four losses. Two of them are blowouts. For a team that was so good, they're the only sort of real blemishes on this resume this year, defending national champions. They got blown out twice by UConn. And, it was a turning point game for UConn where we weren't sure how good they were a few weeks ago when this happens. And now the national championship game. I guess my question for you is this a case of UConn is just that much better, you know, 20-plus points better at this point than South Carolina? Or is this a case of sometimes there just are teams that you don't match up well against?
I think it's both, and I'm glad you framed it that way, because South Carolina had an incredible season. They beat a Texas team that many years would have won a national championship. Madison Booker and Rory Harmon playing for Vic Schaefer was that good. They beat them three times, which is such an incredibly hard thing to do. Played them four times, beat them in the SEC championship game, and then beat them again in the Final Four, the national semifinal on Friday night, and handily, by the way, 74-57. It is a combination of matchup issues. There are very few teams, though, that match up with Connecticut. Let's not forget, this was not some 23-point blowout out of nowhere. Connecticut won easily in all of the games they played in this tournament. Connecticut beat a UCLA team that also, in many years, would have been a national champion with Lauren Betts by 34 points on Friday night. So this was a UConn team that had the highest ceiling of any team in basketball. The question was, could you get AZ, Paige, and Sarah Strong playing at the same time at 100%? Would they stay healthy, Paige and AZ, and would Sarah Strong hit a freshman wall? And the answer turned out to be they were all healthy, and Sarah Strong ran through the tape.
Yeah, so talking to Howard Megdahl, founder of The Next, about women's college basketball and the championship game. And so not to nitpick here, as a fan of the game and somebody who loves it, I thought that watching the Final Four, that to me, Sarah Strong was the Final Four MVP. And I know they give it to AZ Fudd, and you said, quote, a stat that's amazing, that 11 points in one quarter stat. But am I crazy in thinking that that Final Four MVP actually should have gone to the freshman, Sarah Strong?
You're not crazy. It was, so I happen to be a voter, and I voted for AZ Fudd, and it was a true toss-up. And again, Sarah Strong just got better and better and put up some of her numbers in the fourth quarter. I took part of that into context. I sat there at the end of the third and said, look, UConn's up 20 at this point. Numbers that happen after this are probably less significant to the outcome of the game, but I would have been very happy to vote for either or both of them. The good news is I have a feeling I'm going to have many, many years to come to vote for Sarah Strong for all kinds of things with my media vote, because what she did as a freshman, I mean, Dawn Staley said this before the final. She said that she thinks that Sarah Strong has a chance to be the best player in the history of UConn basketball. That is a statement from an icon.
Yeah, watching her and the development of her game over the course of the season, and it's not just, if you're somebody who likes defensive basketball, then you should be tuning in to UConn next season just to watch Sarah Strong play defense. And this is, you know, I just was blown away. What do you think is her, Dawn Staley said she thinks she can be best ever at UConn, and that's, you know, a program that obviously they have players in the debate, in the conversation for best ever players in the history of women's basketball. So what do you think is the future and potential of Sarah Strong, and what makes her so potentially special?
So when you look at what Sarah Strong can already do, it's frightening to consider what the ceiling can be. And I say that very specifically because the game, as we know, the women's game and the men's game has evolved in such a way that bigs are able to handle the ball routinely. Bigs are able to shoot it from three. So you have a difficult time making comparisons from prior eras because truly the idea of a big who can handle and shoot didn't really begin until Candace Parker and probably doesn't begin in earnest until Elena Deladon and Breanna Stewart. What Sarah Strong is a combination of Breanna Stewart's versatility and Aaliyah Boston's ability to force the game to be played at her pace. Aaliyah Boston does not rush. Aaliyah Boston made incredible decisions as a freshman, by the way, for another dominant South Carolina team. And so when I say it's very hard to say what the legacy is, Breanna Stewart's halfway through. She just turned 30 this year. Stewart just won another championship and has a long way to go. I think when it's all said and done, Breanna Stewart's going to be able to make an argument as one of the best players ever. Well, Aaliyah Boston is 2 years into her career, was an WNBA All-Star in year one, made the playoffs with Caitlin Clark in year two, and that pairing with Caitlin Clark is just perfect for what Aaliyah Boston has a chance to do, become. It pairs so well with her game. We don't know where Breanna Stewart and Aaliyah Boston are going to end up. Yeah, again, that's the excitement of the women's game, that there are so many stars here who are still evolving, still developing. And Sarah Strong's coming up behind them with some Stewie in her game, with some Aaliyah in her game, and quite frankly, some stuff that even goes beyond it already as a freshman. Holy cow, can I not wait to see her.
So I'm wondering, you mentioned Dawn Staley talking about, you know, Dawn Staley, women's basketball coach, champion, Olympian, all those accolades for Staley, yeah. South Carolina women's head coach. I thought interesting storyline there as she's touting this freshman from UConn is that didn't Dawn Staley play as a teammate with Sarah Strong's mother?
That's
Allison
right.
Feaster. Did Dawn talk at all about that? And how did she allow this player to get away to UConn and Geno when her mom was one of Dawn's teammates?
Dawn made the joke. She said, you know, we made some history together. You know, thought that would have counted for something. You know, and they were teammates in the WNBA. Allison Feaster, possibly the greatest player in Harvard history, although Harmony Turner, who just completed her career at Harvard, is going to have a good argument for that as well. And we should see her in the WNBA. I hope we do. A smart team is going to draft her. But bottom line was that Sarah Strong thought her best future was at Connecticut. Dawn Staley, no slouch when it comes to recruiting, has a ton of talent, is sending several players to the W this year, bringing a lot back. And she already talked about it. She said, I believe that between the players we have returning and players I'm going to bring in, I'm going to need some more experience through the transfer portal, that we have every chance of being right back here next year. That's the fun thing about seeing these two match up in the national title game. We saw it, of course, back in 2022 as well. These are two programs firing on all cylinders. Neither South Carolina nor Connecticut can assume they get the next Sarah Strong. They're both in the battle for it to the end. And by the way, the answer is also, it might not be either of them. UCLA, who has Lauren Betts returning, also is adding her younger sister, Sienna Betts, who might be an even better player than Lauren Betts. And I can't believe I'm saying that out loud, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, and one of the sad storylines, but hopefully she comes back at full strength, that I think did put a little bit of a damper on this tournament. Maybe the best player in women's college basketball, Juju Watkins, of course, yeah, goes down. Juju gets injured, blows out her knee, and now we'll wait a year and, you know, find out at what point, you know, she comes back and what does she have to say. So looking forward to that. Hey, Howard, before I let you go, wanted to get an update on what's the latest on the new book for people who are fans of women's college basketball. You wrote a book about Caitlin Clark. When's it coming out, and what's maybe a story or something that we can look forward to with this new book?
I appreciate you asking. Becoming Caitlin Clark, now available for pre-order at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. Becoming Caitlin Clark is the story not just of Caitlin, and I talked to Caitlin, I talked to Lisa Bluter, her head coach at Iowa, of course, her teammates with the Indiana Fever, and everything that has happened in 2024, but also understanding where and how this happened. This did not just spontaneously combust in 2024. There's 100 years in the making. There is a history in the state of Iowa that brought us to this moment. The 6-on-6 game is in so many ways influential, not just for who Caitlin is as a person, but for who she is as a player. And Iowa women's basketball does not exist in its current form, not just without Lisa Bluter and the current coach, Jan Jensen, but with C. Vivian Stringer, the incredible legend who built that program, not without Jolette Law, who not only helped C. Vivian Stringer build that program, was an assistant for her at Rutgers, but is now, of course, a top assistant for Dawn Staley at South Carolina. The threads that lead to this current moment, yes, Caitlin is amazing, and Caitlin is the first to talk about this, that there are so many shoulders she is standing on as she continues to go forward. So I was really excited to be able to tell this story, not just about Caitlin, but how we got here. People like Molly Bolin, where Caitlin Clark 50 years ago helped create the conditions for Caitlin Clark today. I talked to so many people for this. I spent so much time on it. I'm so excited to share it with the world. Becoming Caitlin Clark, available for pre-order now.
All right, Howard, looking forward to the book and to the WNBA season. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds great, Lori. Appreciate you.
All right. Quick break. We'll be right back.